Welcome to Dragon Root Radio, Feminist Waves brought to you by CKUT and the Center for Gender Advocacy.
The Dragon Root Media Collective aims to bring you feminist content that challenges interlocking systems of oppression and makes space for voices systemically silenced. Dragon Root understands media as being inherently political and emphasizes media skill sharing as a form of resistance.
We meet every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Center for Gender Advocacy and welcome anyone interested in learning or producing feminist media to join. No skills required.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio. On today's show, we had the chance to speak with Wynne Wolf. Wynne Wolf is a Montreal artist who made her debut recently with a song and video called Boys on Magazines. We had the chance to chat with Wynne Wolf about this debut song, the making of the video, and the meaning behind it.
You're so cool, they call you by your last name.
My name's Wynne Wolf. I'm an independent artist from Montreal, and I just put out my first single, and it's going really well. I'm really happy with it.
Girls, they call you trouble. Friends all call you God.
Speaking of your first single, so this is your kind of music debut with Boys on Magazines. Can you tell me a bit, or us a little bit, about the song itself?
So this is a song that is really for the person I was when I wrote it, which was in like my last year of high school. And it was a time where I think I felt really conflicted because I was, you know, like, and I still am, like a diehard feminist and really trying to prioritize female friendships and the environment and just things I cared about. But at the same time, I felt like my brain was just filled with anxiety and insecurities about male approval. And it was really tough because it's something that I think, especially now, we're not really talking about in music anymore, is feeling really powerless. At least in my circles with like teenage girls or young girls, now I'm 20, and girls who, you know, the image that is really popular to portray is one of a really powerful person. And of course I want to present as powerful, but I wanted to also talk about something that is just feeling really shitty. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Feeling really shitty about, or being made to feel really shitty by, like, boys. Mm-hmm. So that's what the song's about. And that's why I chose it as the first single, because it's kind of how I wanted to start whatever journey this is. Because now I do feel like, although it's a up and down thing with self-confidence, I do feel like that's very much in the past. But I definitely wanted to put this out because I feel like at that age, I would have loved this song.
Yeah, totally. That's such a theme, especially for young women. The male approval thing that definitely doesn't get talked about. That's so interesting. I didn't know that was the kind of background. That's cool. Great. So that's a little bit about the theme of the song. I was reading up on your website, some of your collaborators or the people you worked with. Can you tell us a bit about the process of creating it?
Yeah, so I mean, the recording process happened during COVID. So, or it's still COVID, but during the lockdown portion. So it was all very intense and very secluded and very one-on-one. And I was working really closely with the producers. But it was my first time in like recording in a recording studio. So it was super interesting. And actually all of this has been my first time. It's been like my first time in a recording studio, my first time on the radio, and my first time, you know, making a video and all these things. So I was really trying to enjoy it. At the same time, knowing we have to do it now because I was recording like 3 hours away and getting COVID tests and all this. So it was like okay, we need to really get it right. And so that was kind of, I knew I couldn't just, you know, drive down the street and re-record everything. So it was pretty intense for me, at least, you know, making sure everything sounded good and making sure everything else could be done remotely. But that was kind of the recording process. And although I love the recording process, it's like it's not my favorite thing, because my favorite thing is writing. And so it was more of a, although I enjoyed it a lot, it was more of a like, okay, what's next? Like, now it's done. Can we get it out? Can we, like, that was more where my brain was at.
Right. Yeah. Especially in a COVID time, I'm sure it's just like, let's get it done. Awesome. I want to talk about the video, but before we get more into kind of the creation sides of things, I was reading that a little bit about kind of your journey as an artist, and I read somewhere, I think it was also on the site, that you weren't allowed to listen to pop music when you were younger. Can you tell, is that true? Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you go from listening mainly to kind of blues and rock to being a Swiftie?
Well, it is true. Yes, I was waiting for you to bring up Taylor Swift. It is really true. My dad did not let us listen to Virgin Radio. Like, he would just, I always wanted to listen to Virgin Radio. And he was always like, no, Virgin, like, it was a fight. So we didn't. We listened to, he was a musician, so his friend's CDs and his CDs and like the Rolling Stones and, you know, a lot of blues and Elvis and things like that. And I loved that. There's like videos of me just like watching Elvis, like staring at the computer, because I just loved him. But like, I was really lucky to grow up with the internet. So I was like obsessed with Taylor Swift and not really like not surrounded by people who were obsessed with her, but I was so obsessed with her. And I was so obsessed with country music and because of her. And I just like female, like I was obsessed with Carrie Underwood. I was obsessed with like Miranda Lambert. Like, she really opened that door for me. And it was just like all these songs about like killing your husband, and I just loved it. Like, I really loved it all. So some of my first songs were about like leaving an abusive husband, even though I was like 10 in the bath, because I was just like, that's what I knew. But yeah, that is really true. And I just loved pop music, and I just loved like ear candy, and I just loved what was on the radio. And I think I felt kind of embarrassed about that for a bit, because especially early teen years, everybody wants to know like the cool underground whatever.
Yeah.
And I was never the friend with the aux, because I was always like, I only want to listen to like really basic things. But like, I have a playlist called Basic for a Reason. Like, I truly believe a lot of things are just basic because they're good. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the music I want to make, is just like things that a lot of people can listen to. But like, even I think I've succeeded with this song, because I've had my grandmother from like kids I used to babysit be like, I love it. And that's really my favorite thing, is just being it, like people can put it on and like it. At the same time, it has a meaning if you listen to the lyrics.
Yeah.
So I've succeeded in that, which I'm really proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it makes me think Taylor Swift and even the genre of country is really good at storytelling and lyrics and that kind of like immediate imagery. And I think you've definitely, you know, achieved that in this debut song. So let's talk a little bit about the video, because there's also so much imagery in that. Can you tell us a bit about the, what do you call it? The inspiration for it, or the concept?
So the video is really my baby. Like, I conceptualized it and I saw it through start to finish. And so that's probably like, I'm just as proud of it as the song, because I loved making it. It was my first time doing anything like that, but I was like, I just loved it. And I'm happy I like that, because it's not really music. It's just more like another form of art, but it was really fun. So basically, I think when you hear the song, your initial instinct for a video is it's in a high school, because that's kind of where it takes place. But I wanted to kind of subvert that theme and do a bunch of high school scenes, typical scenes, so lockers and cafeteria and like prom and school photos, and just kind of see if we could make those work in a daycare to poke fun at the immaturity of the subject of the song. And so that's why there's this scene of me like singing to a camera in a crib for that POV. And that was probably my favorite scene. But that was the concept for the video. And then I got involved with Jared Levy, who directed it. And he was working with an awesome producer, Joshua Rosenbaum. And they came in and really like were able to help. They had the cameras and they had the vision too. And so it was really nice working with them. And I just asked all my friends to be in it. I was like, you're who was there. Let's do this. And then I studied theater in Sejep. So I had a friend from theater join me, Josh Hughes. And he played the dude. And it just really came together really nicely. I felt really lucky because I just happened to know all these talented people who could help me. So that was really fun.
That's awesome. And so, yeah, I was wondering, cause, you know, sometimes it's an interesting comment that you made where, you know, music is one kind of medium and then a video is a different thing. And I think you can tell, you know, you have a theater background because sometimes it doesn't always translate with, you know, musicians onto the screen. And that's really cool to see, and that you got to work with your friends. I guess, so this video and song recently launched, what has the reception been so far? Are you happy with how everything has turned out? What's the feedback you're getting?
I'm really happy. I mean, it's for a first thing, like to already be, you know, being picked up by the radio is really cool. Like, I'm so proud of that because obviously as I was saying, like being on pop radio or whatever is not something that, or sorry, let me say that again. Being on pop radio is something that is really a dream of mine. So that's kind of my goal, is to be on Virgin Radio. But it's been really fun. And my favorite thing has been being like reached out to by actually young girls who go to my high school, who were like much younger than me when I left, and them being like, I love this song. And I'm just like, I made it for you. Thank you. Like, that's my, like, I can't believe they could be having their headphones in and like walking down the hallway and listening to my song, because that's really where I wrote it. Like, my high school was not the best for feeling empowered as a girl. You know, we had to wear skirts and it was also just, I'm trying to think how to explain it. It was really focused on academics. And I think that's an inherently kind of male-dominated field. So when you're spending all your time talking about that and wearing your skirt and all the guys are in pants, it just kind of makes you feel bad, like even if you don't realize it. And so I'm just so happy that they get to hear those songs, because like that's where I wrote them. The cover is like the girl who did the cover, her name's Jen Lynn. She's awesome. She went to my high school too. And we were like, this is the third floor. No, this is the, sorry. We were like, this is the second floor West Wing. That's what it is. And so that was really fun, because now that people there are listening to it, I'm like, yeah, it's literally for you. I made it for you. I'm so happy you love it. So that's been like my favorite thing.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so meaningful too, and it has that more personal connection. So I guess we'll, I'm sorry, I want to make sure my internet, there we go. So those were all my kind of main questions. I guess I want to know, so this is the first song that's out. You'll have your time to, you know, enjoy this, of course, but also what's next, and what do you hope to continue building and creating?
Well, right now I'm really trying to kind of get my foot in the door in being taken seriously. Like, I am a young woman, and so even though I'm like kind of running, I'm an independent artist, right? So I'm making the decisions, and I'm having a lot of fun. But, you know, still, when I walk into spaces, I'm usually one of the only girls. Like, even the video, it's dudes. Even recording, it's dudes. And that's okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I do feel like I definitely want to try to start working with more women. Now that I have a bit more of a repertoire, and I can kind of be like, these are the stories I want to tell. So for my next thing, I'm working on another single that I really want to put out. We're starting with singles. We're starting with, you know, kind of creating different little universes in these songs. And then my goal eventually is to make an album and work on a live show and do all those things. But so what was I saying? Yes, with this next single, I definitely want to try to work with more women, because I think I'm telling a female story, and it's important to have those people behind the scenes too. And I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited. Obviously, I'm enjoying this, but literally as soon as the song came out, I was like, okay, next song, we got to go. And that's kind of how my brain works. So I'm really looking forward to doing that and doing hopefully a different video and developing, like I said, a live show is going to be really cool. I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me. I really appreciate you bringing in the kind of gendered experience of being not just a female artist, but a young female artist. So that's a really important perspective to chat about. So really appreciate that.
Thank you. Being able to incorporate them in this is really important to me, because it's where most of my energy goes.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's something that's really important to me, and I hope I can keep talking about it, because I want young girls to see me talk about it and listen and feel seen and all that.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see what you do next.
You're listening to Dragon Root Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. You just heard our interview with Wynn Wolf, a Montreal artist who just made her debut with Boys on Magazines. Here is that song.
You're so cool, they call you by your last name. You
was Boys on Magazines by Wynn Wolf, a debut song by this local Montreal artist. Up next, we are talking to another artist for Esme. We chatted with Mar about being a musician in the pandemic and what it is like to be a feminist artist.
I'm Mar Meredith. I'm the front woman and general creative director of For Esme, which has been my musical project for, I've actually lost track of how many years, I guess we must be pushing 7 now, maybe more. And we've put out 3 records, 2 of which I put out with like the group of bandmates that I've been working with for a while now. The most recent one was Righteous Woman in 2018. And yeah, in COVID, I'm like making music, but I don't have anything to put out in the immediate future, but I'm definitely working on new stuff and thinking about new stuff. So I'm excited to talk more about that maybe later.
So I want to go way back. Can you tell me about how you got into music in the first place and how For Esme came together?
Sure. I've always loved music ever since I was a tiny human. My parents were always like, they're not super musical, so they were always confused about why I like wanted to sing and dance and perform all the time. But yeah, I've always loved singing. I think I always had an interest in writing music, but I definitely didn't have confidence that I could do it myself until probably university, I think, is when I started writing music. And I was just writing on acoustic guitar, and I started having a lot of fun doing that. And I quickly realized I was having so much more fun writing music than I was like doing my undergrad degree. So after university, I moved here to Toronto to like really try to take a chance and focus on this. And so after a couple years, I came up with the For Esme idea. I've always been a really big fan of J.D. Salinger's writing, which is where the name came from. I've since realized that J.D. Salinger is like super problematic in a bunch of ways. I think he had a lot of issues with mistreating young women. So I'm kind of reckoning with that right now. But since my project's so feminist, and I always try to think about how like, I don't know, if Esme is the little girl from that story that's maybe, now that I'm older looking back, like kind of being preyed upon by an older man, I like to think that at least the music I'm writing about is about giving voice to young women and a voice that I wish I had when I was younger. So I don't know, I'm still kind of struggling with that, but it's something I definitely acknowledge and am thinking about. But that's where the name came from. And yeah, we were a trio for a while. Then it's kind of been moving parts. I love to change it up, and the bigger my ideas get, the more people are required to make them happen. So right now, well, most recently when we've toured, we've been a 5-piece, and I'm collaborating with a few people from that 5-piece on the work I've been working on this year. But it's all kind of a work in progress, and it can always, I like that it can always change who the cast of people that are going to perform are.
So on the official site, it says that For Esme is, quote, an unabashedly feminist exploration of self-love and the courage of conviction in uncertain times. I don't know if you wrote uncertain times before COVID.
It was, actually. I kind of forgot about that. Yeah, now it's more uncertain than ever.
But can you tell us a bit more about why or about this feminist exploration and what it means to you in the project?
Sure. I've identified as feminist for a long time. Like specifically, I remember since when I was doing my undergrad and learning about, even just realizing how underrepresented women were in academia, and how like all the readings I was doing in my politics classes were all by like old white men, and how reading a reading a woman's perspective was often deemed as like a radical thing. And I was like, it shouldn't be radical, it should be normal. But yeah, I think ever since I've been doing music, like it's always been important for me to write about, I'm really interested in cultural critique and like interrogating the things that I think are wrong with the world. And often I don't like to be too like prescriptive about what I think other people should be doing to make the world better, but it's often more interrogating myself about what I could be doing or how I could be living to be more overtly feminist, I guess. And we're probably going to get into this later, but I'm actually doing my master's right now at U of T in this program called Community Development and Adult Education. So this semester, I'm taking a class on feminist theory, and it's been so much fun for me to be back in that world. And it's like feeding my brain so much in terms of, it's a lot of amazing thinkers that I always have been interested in, but to have to study them kind of academically is exciting for me. But this semester, we're reading a book called Living a Feminist Life by Sarah Emmett. And it's blowing my mind. Like, it's already stuff I've thought about, but she's just giving voice to all these things that I've been writing about and thinking about for a long time. And it's cool to see them in a different form, like a non-musical form, and think about what that means. And I think, I mean, I've talked about this in the record and since, but like, you know, I'm a white, straight, cis lady. And so my feminism is always expanding, and I'm trying to expand it to be a lot more broad and to include a lot more other perspectives and voices. And I'm increasingly thinking a lot about what capitalism and decolonization mean in terms, like, I don't think feminism is going to be super valuable without those pieces now. And I guess I've always known that, but I'm getting more into that now.
So speaking of this, your music obviously follows these themes. I want to play a song for our listeners called For Others. Can you tell us a bit about this song?
Sure. So I wrote For Others around when I was getting married to my husband, Charlie, who's like one of my oldest, dearest friends, and he's fabulous. But I had a lot of weird things about getting married. I wasn't even sure if like that fit with my feminist agenda or not, but I also wanted it. So it was confusing, and I felt like I was kind of struggling with this, what felt like a diverging choice of like, am I going to pursue music, or am I going to pursue like having a family and a husband and a life that is, and I've since realized that of course it's possible to have both, but I don't think our culture like makes it easy to have both. And I was really struggling with the concept of whether or not I want to have kids, which is funny because now a couple years later, like all my friends are having kids this year. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Kids are cool. Like, kids are actually awesome. And it's not as scary to imagine having a life and having kids. But that's where I was at when I was writing that. And I was really struggling between those two things.
So this is the song For Others by For Esme. just heard the song For Others by For Esme. So we've interviewed many musicians over the years to speak about their gendered experience of the music industry, whether that's on tour, writing, performing. I'm curious what your experience is working in music and if you've encountered or observed any similar limitations as a woman in music.
Yes, I sure have. I think it's hard. It's hard to be a woman in music. I think any woman in this field can probably relate to that. I've run into tons of sexist bullshit over the years and people condescendingly telling me what to do and men assuming I don't know how to use my gear or don't know how to do a sound check or just generally being like mansplained to about all kinds of stuff. But I also recognize, like I really recognize that a lot of women have it harder than I do. I've had access to things that lots of women don't. And I'm always conscious when there's like, I think there's such a push in the industry right now to have better representation when it comes to women. But then you'll be like, oh, it's interesting that all these women were invited, but we're all white, or all these women were invited, but we're all cis and straight. And it's like, I don't know. I think I'm increasingly conscious that even though my experience has been hard, I need to use that, my anger about how hard mine has been, to advocate for other people who have it even harder. But yeah, it can be the worst for sure. But I also think, I will add, I think it was around 2014, 2015, I started like really getting to know a lot of other women in the industry, especially here in Toronto. And it totally changed my life and it totally changed my career, because working with women and like collaborating and sharing the experience and having each other to talk to, like it just made everything so much more fun and so much more fulfilling and exciting. So even though it's hard, I think, I don't know, I wouldn't trade. I would not want to be a woman in the music industry. So yeah. And I think it's changing slowly. I mean, it's interesting to still see, I know last week I noted like more abusers in the Canadian industry are being outed, and I know there's more to come. And that sucks. Like, it's hard to see that men are still not held to the same standard by any stretch as the women in this industry are. But I'm hoping it'll change. I'm hoping it's changing.
Yeah. So you mentioned people being held accountable, as well as having more representation in the music industry. Are there any other things or solutions you think that would help women get into music?
Yeah, I mean, I think having mentors is so important. And I think that's important in every field. And it's something I've been thinking about and reading about in the schoolwork I'm doing lately, too. Like, it's hard in academia if you look up and you don't see any women professors in your field, or if you don't see any women of color in your field, if you don't see any trans people in your field, and you're like, well, can I fit into that space? So I know for me, when I meet and can look up to women who are like incredible audio engineers or incredible producers. Like when I started music, I didn't know a single woman who produced their own music. I mean, I knew Grimes did it, but like even then everyone was like, does she really write her own music? And now it's like, of course, like so many women do these things and they do them so well. And I've had amazing experiences. Like my favorite two audio, like my two favorite sound techs that we ever tour with are both women, and they're like honestly better than any of the men I've ever toured with. But I think it's cool because now when other women come to those shows and they see those women killing it doing those jobs, it gives you like a belief that you could see yourself in that role too. And I think that's cool, and I think it's important. And I think even just like, I remember being really nervous when I was younger to speak up about the things that I thought were unfair. And then since I now have a lot less problem doing that. But I think it's important to see other people do it, because when you see other people be like, this is unjust, or this isn't fair, or this shouldn't be that way, then you feel braver to be like, yeah, I also have experienced that, and I don't think it's right either. And you know, power in numbers.
I'd like to turn to another song. So this song is called Small Talk. Now the video for Small Talk is one of my favorites. Can you tell us a bit about the idea and the concept behind it?
Absolutely. So this is like, I mean, I made quite a few music videos over the years, but this is my favorite one for a bunch of reasons. One is that I got to collaborate with Amy and Nora of Quote Unquote Collective, who are like this incredible feminist theater duo. And if you don't know them, you should check them out. They've made this amazing play and movie called Mouthpiece and another play called Now You See Her. And they're both just like, I don't know, they're the coolest. I love working with them. And they directed this movie or this music video. And we had so much fun like interrogating what it's like to repress your feelings in public and try to be okay when you're not, or try to be, I don't know. I feel like so often I'm like feeling like I need to put on a happy face or like be sunny when I don't feel sunny or smile when I don't feel like it. And so it was fun to explore through movement what it feels like when you're kind of erupting and you're trying not to. I also used to dance a lot when I was younger, and I really love dance. And so being able to incorporate that into my music in a new way is super exciting. So it was so fun to make. And as you see, if you watch the video, like some of it was super intimidating. Like I had to do my little eruption dance on the GO train, and we were totally shooting guerrilla style. Like we were not supposed to be there, and everyone was looking at me and pointing at me, and I felt so self-conscious. So it took a lot of bravery. And I say that because I feel like Amy and Nora really like, they're so brave about the way they do their art, and it gave me a lot of inspiration. So it was a lot of fun.
Try!
So what are you working on now? And how has quarantine been for your creative process?
So I would say, I guess, two things. On the one hand, so I applied for this master's program more than a year ago, like a year and a half ago, maybe. And I just knew I was working on a new record and I was having fun on it, but I was also like running into a lot of blocks and I was struggling with the subject matter. I really want to, the focus of my next record and the thing I'm like really interested in right now is alternatives to capitalism and a criticism of capitalism. I think that so often when I'm like interrogating things that are wrong, whether it be through like in patriarchy or in colonization or all these things, like capitalism is this underlying worldview that creates so many of the problems. Like it's the inherent problem with climate change. It's a problem with so many things. And I was really struggling to find the words for that. And I guess, like, I mean, it's hard to write pop music about stuff like this, but I found out about this master's program and I got really excited because they really encouraged artists and all kinds of people to do it. Like it wasn't just for academics or it wasn't just for people who are teachers. And it's a focus on adult education. And I was kind of realizing, like, I guess I've always hoped my music is kind of a tool of adult education in a way, like a way of making people think and question things. So it is a total fluke that, I mean, I got in February 2020 and then the pandemic hit in March. And I'm so grateful because I don't know what I would be doing with my time right now if I didn't have this. Pandemic's been hard. I know it's been really hard for everybody. I miss my bandmates. I hate not being able to see them and collaborate. I'm a really social, I'm like an off the charts extrovert. So not being able to see people is really not that fun for me. And it's hard for the music making too, because I'm like a collaborative person. I like the energy of people together in a room making stuff. I also like had to move out of my house because it's under construction. And so I'm living in this, I'm like displaced from my home and there's all these things going on. And it's been a lot. But I feel grateful that I have something else to focus on because so many of my bandmates and my peers are a lot more in a more precarious situation right now than I am. And I really feel for them because it's really hard to know when anything's going to start back up again. And I have friends who've been releasing music this year and it's cool because people are at home and they're sad and they want to listen, but they can't tour and they can't promote it in the ways that they would. And they can't necessarily shoot music videos the way that they would. And they can't go have meetings with people and go network and do all these things that are such a fundamental part of trying to get your music heard. So yeah, I don't know. It's a hard time to be a musician. And I think I'm so conscious of just like, it's a hard time that doesn't have an end. Right now, we just have no idea when that's going to end. And it feels like the last priority, and understandably the last priority. Like I get that, you know, having concerts start again is not anyone's first priority right now, but what I would do to be in a crowd, like listening to live music, I would do anything.
Yeah. Oh, I know you're not alone in that. Might not be a priority, but a lot of people are itching for that for sure. So you mentioned you've kind of been working on some new things. Do you want to share about what that is and maybe what people can expect in the future with your music?
Sure. I have to say it's a lot of big question marks right now. Like I've been working on it for a while. And like I said, I kind of felt like I hit a bit of a roadblock. Mm-hmm. And now I've been doing school and I've been honestly so busy with school that I haven't had as much time as I imagined to be writing music. But at the same time, everything I'm learning, I know it's going to go into music. Like I'm having such a transformative worldview kind of experience right now that I am excited about what's going to come of it. So like this semester, for example, I'm taking this feminist theory class and I'm taking an Indigenous worldviews class, which is like totally blowing my mind. And I have the most amazing professor. Her name's Dr. Wemigwans, and she's the most like warm and open, awesome person teaching us about how to approach decolonization in this way that's like not super intimidating. Mm-hmm. And it's really welcoming and beautiful. And it seems to offer so many answers to things that I feel like from a colonial perspective, I'm like, yeah, like how are we ever going to dismantle capitalism? Or like, how are we ever going to actually achieve like feminist equality? And it's like, there's so many amazing ideas that have been here since before settlers came that we, if we just like look back, they're there. So I'm toying with all these ideas and I have so much I want to say and write about, but it's also intimidating subject matter. And I also am super conscious of like, I don't want to center my voice in that conversation. And yet I'm excited to explore what that could look like. Before the pandemic hit, I'd probably written, I want to say 5 or 6 songs that I imagined were going to be on this next record. And now I don't know if they're going to be on it or not, because so much has changed and so much is like in flux, I think. But I still really like those songs, so there's a good chance they will. But I think that whatever, like my semester will wrap up in April, so very soon. And then I'm really hoping to focus my summer heavily on the music and now taking all I've learned and making something out of it. And I'm not totally sure what that's going to be yet. Like maybe part of me is like, maybe I should just do a 180 and like record it all on with the guitar instead of my normal like keyboard and arpeggiators. But then I love dance music, so I don't know. We'll have to see.
Dance music, yeah, dance is important right now, for sure. Actually,
this book, the feminism, Living a Feminist Life book I was mentioning, talks about how one of the things in your feminist toolkit should be, well, it talks about being your body, but how dancing is a feminist pedagogy. And I was like, dancing is a feminist pedagogy. Like, I don't know. I feel like dance is where I can feel so free and feel so myself sometimes. And
all right, we'll end the show with one of my favorite songs by Four Esme called Doubt Mouth. Can you tell us a bit about the song before we get into it?
Sure. So Doubt Mouth is about like having the doubt to speak up and feeling like, you have to be quiet or be polite or be, you just have to be really careful not to be too much if you want people to take you seriously as a woman, which is completely unfair, but something that I was really struggling with when I was writing this record. And unfortunately that has not changed at all for me. And I don't know if it has for you or for the other women listening, but I find whatever new space I'm operating in, that same thing comes up. It's like, I just feel women get questioned so much more and get critiqued so much more and expected to be underachieve. I watched this amazing video for school the other week about, her name is Paula Williams and she's a trans woman. And she talks about her experience of living as a man first and then as a woman. And she says that once she transitioned, men started telling her that she was wrong all the time and that she never experienced that before. And it was really interesting to hear it from someone who's like been on both sides. And she's like, yeah, 100%. Like women get fed doubt all the time. And I was like, oh my God, like I already knew it was real, but it's like, there's another example that it's 100% real. So that's what this song is about, is not feeling like you can't speak up or feeling like you can't speak up and then doing it anyway.
Perfect. So this is Doubt Mouth by Four Esme.
Keeping quiet.
for those who want to follow your music, support you online, where's the best place to find you?
It's all on Spotify. And of course, but I also am very conscious that Spotify is evil and we all should stop promoting it. So Bandcamp is a great place to buy it or to listen to it. I have so much fun working visually. So I'm really on for the songs that I do have videos for, like I love sharing them on YouTube. It's on everything. It's on Apple Music. I think it's probably on Amazon, but I don't know how to find that. I will shout out in the name of the pandemic that Bandcamp is really cool and it's been doing a really fabulous job of supporting artists this year. And I'm pretty grateful for that.
You are listening to Dragonert Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We've come to the end of today's edition of Dragonert Radio, but be sure to tune in 2 weeks from now for more reports on gender-based issues.
Talking about it for over a year, and you probably already know anyway, we've decided not to say it this time. So we're not going to tell you again that to protect yourself from COVID-19, you should wash your... And we certainly won't repeat once more that you should wear a... Or most importantly, that we must keep our... From others. Because you already know this is the best way to fight the virus. Even when you're vaccinated, let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Oh shit! All of CKUT's members are invited to attend our annual general meeting on Wednesday, November 24th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Zoom. Go to the link on our website for all the information, including how to submit a member motion and details about CKUT's various committees. Email agm@ckut.ca to register and get the Zoom link. We hope to see you there. Stand with Wet'suwet'en. McGill University must divest from TC Energy. A community campus action on Wednesday.